on a hump day. But there's a baseball game going on that we'll continue to pay attention to. Could use some runs right now, just speaking that into existence. But, oh yeah, the Browns are a dumpster fire again. Man, if we miss this, not. But to talk about the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Browns, to get his thoughts on benching Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski, how much blame does he have, and all this and more, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, hi, buddy.
Hey, that might have been a 9.
Mm.
That was pretty good.
I've been kind of delivering here for you recently.
No, you have been. And you know what's interesting? Advertising works. Like, the next time I'm in Cleveland, I'm going to the North Olmsted Chrysler Dodge, whatever. Because I've heard you say it so many times, I feel like I've spent half my life hanging and holding on the North Olmsted Chrysler Dodge hotline, that next time I do a Browns game, if it's in Cleveland, I'm going to North Olmsted. Where is North Olmsted? I'm going.
It's north of Olmsted, I would say. That's right about where it is.
Oh my gosh, you guys don't even know where it is, dude.
Well, no, trying to explain somewhere where something in Northeast Ohio is.
A bunch of other cities you don't
somebody,
know either.
To somebody who's not from here, it just gets convoluted really quickly. It's in the Cleveland area. That's all you really need
to
know.
Listen, I lived in Berea for a full month, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's Berea.
Oh, is it Berea?
Oh, I thought that was a bit you were doing. I thought you intentionally flubbed it.
No, I can't remember. Although my college roommate at Princeton, he went to Mid Park, and he wore the same shirt every day in college. It said, "Go Mid Park, beat Berea or Berea."
Apologies to good people of Berea and the good people of Berea as well. Ross, we are up a creek without a paddle right now with the Browns at 1-4. Are we at salvage the season, or are we at sail off the season at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to have that conversation, especially, you know, with the game you have coming up against Philadelphia, coming off of a bye. It's funny because you guys appreciate this. I was on Philadelphia radio this morning for a while, and they're kind of apoplectic right now because of the Phillies. I mean, they really thought the Phillies had a great chance to win the World Series, and now they could be eliminated in like 4 hours or whatever it is. And so they said, this was the exact quote in the radio, "Can you imagine if we lose tonight and then the Eagles lose to the Browns?" Like, that's where the Browns are now, where it's like, if the Eagles were to lose to them, that would be rock bottom for the city of Philadelphia. It's the biggest spread on the entire slate for Sunday. And I got to be honest with you, I am really, really surprised and disappointed by what we've seen from the Browns. Really, I truly am. I didn't know what to expect with Deshaun Watson. We talked about it last week. I did not think he played poorly against the Raiders. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he was not on the list of the top five reasons why they lost that game to the Raiders. And as we discussed last week, I didn't know if that made it worse or better. You just watch them and something is missing. It feels like there's something hanging over, like hovering over the entire franchise right now. And frankly, I do think it's Deshaun Watson's contract. And the real problem that they have right now is these guys know what it looked like with Flacco. They know what happened with Flacco, right? So whether it's consciously or subconsciously, and even though they know the O-line needs to play better or this or that, they also know that they were getting better play at the quarterback position last year, and they elected to not even try to bring that guy back for all the reasons we probably already know, for this exact reason. Because if Flacco was still there, people would really be clamoring to put him in.
Yeah, does it hurt Stefanski at all, the idea that it just seems like he's hamstrung right now, and it seems like the Haslams want to play They want to play Deshaun, and they're going to play Deshaun.
I think that only goes so far, though. I mean, I would agree with you that they are heavily, heavily invested, as in, like, more than anybody else has ever been, for Deshaun Watson to work out. But at this rate, what are the odds that it does? You know, what are the chances that he becomes a top 10 quarterback again? Not real good, but then what are their options otherwise? I mean, the question is, if you put in Winston, are you throwing in the towel on Deshaun Watson? And I would say, not necessarily. You know, I mean, if they go with Winston and he wins and it goes well, then you leave him in. If you go with Winston for a couple of weeks and it's still a disaster, then you can go back to Deshaun and it's almost like the pressure is off, if that makes sense. Right now, everyone's clamoring for him to be benched. And everyone wants to, you know, see what Jameis Winston can do. Well, if you do that, there's only two scenarios. Jameis plays well, and you go ahead and you keep winning and see if you can salvage the season, which people will be happy about. But if Jameis plays poorly, then you can put Watson back in, and people won't be saying, although actually in your case, they might be calling for DTR at that point.
We got extra guys here. Yeah,
there's always another door there, Ross.
Moment you bench Deshaun, I think that's it. It's blouses.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but on some level, I guess I feel like they need to see what it looks like with someone else, and maybe the players even do too, and maybe a break would help Watson a little bit. But the fact that they have kind of DTR waiting in the wings, and he's done some positive things in the preseason, that kind of changes the dynamic a little bit.
Ross, with this team right now, Deshaun's getting a lion's share of the blame, certainly nationally, but even here locally. The easy thing is just Deshaun, but Deshaun doesn't miss tackles. That's been going on all season long. He doesn't drop passes, which has been going on all season long. He doesn't miss blocking assignments for himself, which has been going on. And that led us yesterday to a conversation about Kevin Stefanski. This is not anti-Kevin Stefanski, but it does seem like Kevin is getting a pass in all this when we're talking about elementary things for football, like high school level things you have to be good at and we're in the pros. Why is Kevin Stefanski getting a pass in all these Browns struggles?
Because he's the two-time coach of the year in the last 4 years. They made the playoffs seemingly out of nowhere twice. They won a playoff game. He's the best coach, and this is the most successful era that the Browns have had in 25 years.
Should the bar be higher after 4 years?
Well, I'm just answering your question. I mean, that's why. And I got to be honest with you. Like, everything you said about the issues this year, the missed blocks is a real thing. The drops, a real thing. But I also feel like, is that Stefanski? Like, when the O-line can't pass off a stunt, is that him? When Amari Cooper drops the ball in his chest, is that him? When Nick Harris holds Christian Wilkins with his left hand, you know, which, by the way, I still don't love that they called it, but is that Stefanski? I have a tough time saying that. I mean, you know, I'm around a lot of different teams. I call a lot of games. I would say without any hesitation that I think the Browns have a top 10 GM head coach duo in the NFL. And I think that a lot of owners would love to have Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski as their GM and head coach. I don't believe, and I will probably never believe, that it was their decision to go after Watson and to give him that kind of contract. And I do think some of the things you mentioned point to lack of detail, and ultimately that's on the head coach. But that's a whole other thing. Like, I don't understand why they just let Bill Callahan go. I think that's hurt them. You know, that's a kind of – I almost feel bad for the new O-line coach, because it's a – tough position he's been put in. Okay, hey, replace arguably the best guy in the world at this. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have different guys in at different positions every week because they're all going to get hurt at some point.
So do you feel like if Andy Reid was the head coach of the Browns, we'd still be 1-4?
That's a tough one because I think Andy Reid is starting to get into a unique category of is he the best coach ever? I think we need to, you know, we're not far from having that conversation just because of the success he's had with so many different quarterbacks. I'm not just talking about the 3 Super Bowl wins with Mahomes. I mean, the amount of quarterbacks that Andy Reid has had success with to the point where they got paid by other organizations like Kevin Cobb, A.J. Feely. It's unbelievable. I mean, guys, I was in the booth Monday night with Kevin Harlan for West of One, okay? The leading rusher for the Chiefs was Kareem Hunt. The leading receiver with over 130 yards was Juju Smith-Schuster. They just got Kareem off the couch 2 weeks ago. Juju Smith-Schuster is getting paid $7 million guaranteed by the Patriots, who didn't even want him on their roster. I mean, I think I said at one point during the game, is it 2018? Are we in the time machine right here where Kareem Hunt and Juju are leading a team in rushing and receiving? And oh, by the way, the team is beating the Saints' brains in and moving the ball up and down the field on Monday Night Football. I mean, Andy Reid is fantastic. I don't think Stefanski is in that category. Although, you know, the flip side is I kind of feel like I'd like to see Stefanski with a top 10 quarterback at some point. Although the flip side of that would be when you look at how Baker's playing in Tampa, it's disappointing that Stefanski and Baker couldn't make that work together in Cleveland. You know, I don't know if there's any Baker boys left in Cleveland, but you know, he should still be there. You know, Baker, his mindset, the way he plays, and I don't remember the play-by-play of how it ended for him in Cleveland and why they moved on and all that, but, like, everything about his passion, his energy, the edge he plays with, I feel like Baker Mayfield oozes Cleveland and was perfect for Cleveland, and it bums me out that he's not there playing well for the Browns.
Baker Bros have never left here,
fella. Oh, yeah, live and rampant.
Yeah, right here. Uh-huh. It's your boy, Nikki Dubs. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. We do have, listen, this is not a Browns-related one, Ohio State, Oregon this weekend. I know you pay a lot of attention to college football as well. Where are you leaning in this game?
Yeah, I like Ohio State. I think it'll be a really good game. Ironically, I'm doing the Oregon State game on Saturday night at the same time. But I just think Ohio State, first of all, Oregon has played some close games, which I don't know if that helps them or hurts them, right? Like, on the one hand, they've been in those close games, so if that's what this is late, they have a little more experience in that than the Buckeyes do this year. On the other hand, I've never seen in my lifetime this many guys that were professional football players or could be professional football players return to a school like Ohio State had with JT and Denzel Burke and Sawyer and Ibuka and all these guys. And then they add, you know, like Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it's a ridiculously talented roster. This is the year for the Buckeyes. Barring turnovers, which obviously are the great equalizer, and I know it's a very, very tough place to play, I like Ohio State to win the game. I think the thing that I'd be most excited about, I guess, if I'm a Buckeye fan, is that I think you probably have the best team in the country, or certainly one of the 2 or 3. And even if there are issues with turnovers. And for whatever reason, it doesn't go your way. It's a tough place to play. Outson Stadium, Saturday night, all those things. Well, you're still going to make the playoff if you win the rest of the games after that. So I kind of like that part of the expanded playoff, is that you can lose one, which I think is the way it should be. You shouldn't just be eliminated when you lose one game in a 12-game season.
Ross, I got to ask you, because for myself, it feels like the NIL Bowl, where they paid a lot of money for Dylan Gabriel, and Oregon spent a lot of money in other spots, and then Ohio State spent a lot of money because they had to try to basically beat Michigan after what happened last year and three straight years in a row of losing to Michigan. When you're doing these games and as you've gone through the college football season, have you thought about NIL, or has it just kind of escaped to the background?
It's a really good question. I definitely think about NIL. You know, last year I was doing like Ole Miss, Bama. I did a Rutgers game. I did a Georgia game. You know, this year I thought about NIL during the Colorado State game for sure. You know, last week Navy, Air Force, those guys aren't even allowed to get NIL. But, yeah, I mean, I think by all indications – Ohio State and Oregon are top five in the country in NIL spending, and they might be 1-2. You know, I know for a while people have told me, I guess, that Florida State was extremely aggressive in that regard. I think Texas A&M as well are other schools that I've heard. But, yes, I mean, Oregon and Ohio State are not messing around. Football is very, very important to a number of people that really like those two universities. And so there's no question that they've invested heavy, heavy resources in these programs, and in particular for this season.
Ross, really great stuff. You still haven't followed me back on TikTok. And that was a promise. That's a second straight promise I feel like has been broken to me. I thought we were boys.
You want to know the answer? I got your text last week, and I went, and I don't these are issues you don't have, but I don't run my own TikTok. You know, that's how I roll.
That's nice.
So I guess I have a TikTok account, but the account I have is not like the Ross Tucker NFL one where the video clips are posted. And for some reason, I don't have access to that one. That's probably a problem, right? I should probably at least have access to my own TikTok account. So after you texted me, and you did it, like you did it, hey, that was fun, man, that was cool, which is a good way to text, which was basically saying, hey, this is a reminder, you're supposed to you're supposed to follow me on TikTok, loser. And so I knew exactly why you were texting me, so I went to go do it, and the account I have access to on TikTok has one follower, I think, and it's Ross Tucker NFL, so I can follow you from that one. But it send me another text, because it's actually a good reminder. I need to get access to the Ross Tucker NFL TikTok account. Should be noted for everybody else out there that I do have access to Ross Tucker NFL for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you follow me on any of those platforms, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
I really just, I mean, that was, you one-upped me, you soapboxed me, you first-world problemed me. That's a work of beauty there, friend. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Later, dude.
Later, dude. Ross Tucker on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And that was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll react to what he had to say about Cleveland Browns next on 92.3 The Fan. Thing. I just think the Deshaun stuff, I'm not saying he is absolved of blame. It just, when everybody, especially when people who aren't watching the games every single week are saying, well, just fix that and you'll be fine, it's a little convenient. It's letting too many people off the hook for me.
Well, he spat in the face of your argument yesterday. That's all he did right there. And that he almost played your hand. He was exactly the person that you would be suggesting and saying are not going to give Stefanski enough blame and are going to go ahead and give him some sort of pass. That was exactly what Ross did he not?
Well, like, in for instance, he did do the thing of, well, you know, Kevin and Andrew didn't have say in this. It's like, come on. I mean, yes. Do I think that the Haslams were a big part of this decision to trade for Deshaun? Of course. But if Kevin and or Andrew had made it work, had powers of position and had roles in the thing with Baker not working out, The reason you had to get, you were so desperate to get Deshaun is the Baker door was closed before the Deshaun door opened up, right?
Yeah, but on that point too, though, and this kind of goes to who's getting the blame and who doesn't get the blame. I said for years that if the Browns won a Super Bowl, you'd sit there and say, wow, Stefanski and Andrew Berry, they did it, while giving no credit to the Haslams. And now that it's going south, everyone just says, oh, it was the Haslams the entire time.
But I just think it's wild, this obsession. And I'm not saying that inevitably people aren't going to be right. If you ask me right now, at the end of this season, I think you're going to have a real conversation about how can we, like, what can we do with Deshaun? Do we put him as an inactive, like the Texans did for a year? Do you
try to trade him?
You try and trade him.
Attaching,
like,
draft picks.
Like, I think these are real conversations. But what's crazy to me is everybody's so insistent on having that conversation as soon as humanly possible. That's what's wild.
You mean the what do we do with Deshaun convo? You just want to just kind of let it play out is the point.
I don't think you have a choice. Like, when you have $230 million.
Not the greatest sports radio you can ever come up with, the let it play out radio, but sometimes it's what you need to do.
Well, and I hate to, because listen, I don't want to give Browns fans the death of hope. That's not what I'm trying to do. And I understand what Browns fans are clamoring for, whatever the damn word is, like with Jameis or DTR or just get away from Deshaun. What you're really asking for is hope.
Right.
But I think there's hope in the minute, which is fleeting, which you can make emotional decisions, and then there is hope for long term. And I don't see how, unless it's DTR, and DTR all of a sudden Brock Purdy's this bad boy, and Deshaun becomes the backup, and yada, 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 unless that happens, that is a minute possibility.
Yeah, no, like, we're lockstep there. Yeah.
So I
benching Deshaun is eating a cheeseburger and then telling yourself you feel great about it. Like, yeah, you're not going to feel great.
And I always
maybe in the
do.
Moment, maybe in the moment, but like, how long does that last?
A couple days.
One cheeseburger does not last you a couple days.
Yeah, man, the cheeseburgers I'm having there.
I'm having some pretty good cheeseburgers. 20 minutes later, I hate myself.
I'm having cheeseburgers that would make Shannon Sharpe's toes curl. All right, that's what we're talking about. You heard the audio. You heard the video.
I've seen the ads.
That's what I sound like after the burgers I have.
How do you capitalize that? Well, he has, folks.
If you're smart, you can capitalize anything now.
Incredible.
Shame isn't a thing anymore. We just collectively all agreed it's not a thing. I digress.
So maybe it gets you an hour. Maybe it gets you a couple hours of happiness. Ultimately, though, Jameis Winston's not going to deliver you a season's worth of happiness.
And it only pays off if it works out.
Well, that's the other side of that. If it doesn't work out, then you're stuck being like, oh, I guess the team is, as you would describe it, booty cheeks.
Well, and thank you. And what I will say is, Nick Wright, the other day on Fox Sports, suggested that this thing has gotten to a point where, and right now I believe the Browns would own the fourth pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his suggestion was, maybe try and attach the fourth pick in the NFL draft with Deshaun, to try and get somebody to take Deshaun's contract off your hands.
Yeah, and so then the moment that they acquire Deshaun, you'd still have to take on some of the dead cap money, but you'd get all the other money that you push to the future.
Yeah.
That would then go away. He'd go to another team, and then you would instantly, that team would just cut him.
Yeah.
He just would no longer be on
the
NFL
Brock
roster.
Osweiler.
Yeah, and so like a team that I was thinking about that would make some sense, for instance, if you're the Panthers, you got a bunch of cap space, and you'd be willing to take that on. You get to go ahead and start anew with a brand new quarterback, and you kind of kick that thing and get that thing and go. And I don't know that any Browns fans would be interested in that, because I think a lot of Browns fans think that the quarterback of the future is coming through the draft and the draft alone.
Yeah, I just think so. To me, the thing you need to avoid, however this goes from here, the thing you need to avoid is making the next desperate move. If Deshaun has to be on this roster and collect every cent, then that's what you have to do. Like, here's the thing. Billionaires have a margin of error that you and I don't have. So when life decides to give me a lesson,
I'm thinking about what my margin of error is.
By mule kicking me in the ass, I tend to go, life's telling me something here. The football gods are telling you something here. And that is, you tried to take a shortcut with Deshaun, and you're getting bit in the booty cheeks right now. So trying to take another shortcut to then make up for your previous dumb decision and ill-fated decision is the dumbest thing you could do. Like, that, I'll be honest, if they were to do that, that's when I know it doesn't matter who your head coach is, who your GM is, who your quarterback is, those people are going to screw it up.
Well, I think it's either that or you go fire sale with the players you have.
Oh, God, I hate that. That's just because, again, that's old Browns thinking.
I mean, well, because there's not going to be a we draft a quarterback and we're now the Broncos with Bo Nix and then we still keep all these great pieces and we're just off to the races. Like, it's just not going to doesn't work that way.
216-474-0092. Would you give up the Browns' first pick, which right now sits as the fourth pick in the draft, to a team willing to eat Deshaun Watson's contract? JP called up Carolina. I want to get your answer on this next on 92.3 The Fan. Here, keeping you guys up to date with the latest on the Gardos as 2-0 Detroit. We're about halfway through the game, so of course, as soon as that game goes final, we'll have some reaction. It would be nice if at some point we could get some runs. I don't know. What would have been really nice?
It's a good thing in baseball.
Is if you had like two runners on, and okay, maybe you have two outs, but like Jose's at bat as a lefty.
What a dream scenario.
Yeah. Like
if your big power hitter up at the plate with a couple guys on base.
If you could only get that scenario.
What a dream.
It would be.
What a dream.
It happened and it didn't go well.
No, it didn't.
Albert Breer coming up at 5:20 as well. But, you know, we've thrown this out there that Nick Wright has supposed that the Browns should try and attach. He thinks that the number four pick, which is what the Browns have right now, with Deshaun's contract, could be enough to get out from under this. I look at that as another shortcut. And the Browns need to stop chasing shortcuts. And Jimmy Haslam needs to learn that maybe it's time he lets go of the wizard, the San Diego wizard, not Padre, Paul DePodesta.
Oh, I like that, the San Diego wizard.
The Svengali, who does nothing, has no accountability on wins and losses, and just keeps, he's just a process guy. Well, guys, the process has led you to 1-4. Maybe the process sucks, but maybe at some point, if you're not going to let go of Barry and Stefanski, maybe you could go ahead and empower them. I'm just thinking out loud here, logically, like an adult who's not a billionaire. For you, is this something that entices you, this idea?
No, not at all. Now, what does entice me, though, I'll say this, and I don't want to let him off the hook or anything, but if you say it's instead of a first-round pick, because I think we're going to need that for a quarterback, Nick. I really do. I think you're going to need the whether it's fourth, whether it's sixth, whether it's eighth, you're going to need that for a quarterback. How about like a second and a third?
No, nothing. I'm
open to a second and third.
So here's the thing.
Wipe me clean of Deshaun Watson. Never have to think about the contract again. Never have to do anything else with that. But you got like a second and like next year's third?
Nope.
Because I think Carolina's missing a second round pick this upcoming year. Maybe it's 2025. But maybe you say that and then also a future third. Why not?
But you're starting to run out of real estate when it comes to, or you're starting to run out of like runway to like build a team. And you've already given up multiple assets in the top 90. You can't do it again.
I mean, because you have to think about it, though.
You have to sit in your filth. That's where we are.
Barry hasn't hit really many second or third round picks to begin with anyway.
Then that's an Andrew
and
Barry
how
problem.
They've tried to build this team is basically throwing money at the problem. If Haslam's so down and out because he then just completely butchered this Deshaun Watson thing, maybe he'd keep the money faucet turned on. Maybe, just maybe, we draft our quarterback and then they stay paying Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, everybody else, and they keep going into the coffers and they keep finding more money. And then maybe the rebuild that we thought it was going to be isn't that long of a rebuild. And it's all kicked off by the idea that you got a team to buy into Deshaun Watson for a second or a third. No chance for the first, though. We need to draft a quarterback.
So I do think that I think this is going to be a more palpable idea for people if they keep playing Deshaun and we get halfway through the season and people will do anything. You're still acting out of desperation. And I don't think it's a choice of keeping Deshaun.
What move isn't out of desperation in your eyes then?
Paying Deshaun every cent that he's owed, waiting until it's actually okay to like release him, even if that's at the end of this contract. And keeping the players you have and trying to find a young quarterback to build around.
Okay, because then for the next couple years, that's what that'll be then. And that's fine if you want to go down that road. It might just be what we have to do, but it'll be paying $50 million a year to a quarterback that doesn't play.
That's fine. And Deshaun can be the backup, by the way. I don't care that he's on the roster. I don't know when we got so soft as people and as fans that Deshaun has to be cut for us to have any semblance of, oh, I feel better about this. No, out of sight, out of mind is good enough for me.
I did wonder if we could make Deshaun do sim games or something like that, because
on scout
team. You're paying him money. He's got to do what you say to a degree within the boundaries of the CBA, or else he gets fined out of the you know what. So. Could you have him basically just do whatever you needed him to do? Deshaun Watson, water boy for a game. I don't know. You tell me.
I just try to make
his life as miserable as hell in order to then not want to be there. That would be the goal, right?
I don't think that works.
Bad sitcom ever, but I think that's what you try to do.
Just sit in your filth, learn your lesson, treat Deshaun like a human being, and if this is just not working out, that's fine. But don't just continue to chase, oh, well, we've got to do this. No. And by the way, not even for a second or third round pick.
But you want Deshaun in the meetings and everything? You want him around the new quarterback?
I don't give a rip.
You want him there?
That's a Kevin Stefanski problem. Kevin,
okay,
you're the head coach here. If you don't like it, by the way, Kevin, according to everybody, you can have another job anytime you want. And I'm not saying that that's what I want for Kevin, but this whole woe is me crap with Kevin is just eye-rolling.
Ross said him and Andrew Berry are a top 10 coach GM combo.
We're going to have to get back to that. Whether that's today, tomorrow, whenever, because we obviously have the 5-5 coming up next. We also have Albert coming up. But listen, I'm not saying they're slappies. But it continues to come back to the conversation we had yesterday. I'm okay if you think Kevin is not a problem, right? I think you're missing some key details, some nuances. I think you're absolving him of things. That being said, even if he's not the problem with Deshaun, this team is too undisciplined for me not to look at the head coach. Because if it's not team discipline, well, it's not leadership, it's not the offense, I don't know, how can I hold by the way, it's not the record, it's not his fault. And by the way, the same thing goes to Andrew Berry. But we'll get to that later. We got the 5-5 next on 92.3 The Fan.